Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. We have a great show in store for you today, and it's all live. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
We have a full show for you today, and we're not going to take you around the seasons either.
We had technical gremlins last week, didn't we?
And it was funny. It wasn't even just us, because there's another show that I produce after this, and they don't come in studio, but they come in through the computer system, and he went computer to computer in his office. He couldn't get in. It wasn't even us on that part. So, and then when I got home, I was having computer problems. So I was like, you know what? I'm just...
Last week, it was technical gremlins for us, too, because I had computer issues last week, and it was just amazing. So maybe Mercury was in retrograde or something.
there you go.
But we do want to apologize to Dr. Gary Bachman. He was here, and we had so much fun talking to him.
Right.
But he's going to be back in February, so we're going to see you and Katie back in February, and he'll be on then.
I am so excited. I can't wait. I mean, he just rolled with the punches. He was just like, it's okay. It wasn't meant to be. And I'm like, you are so awesome.
Yeah, he was really good. And so that's wonderful. So I want to welcome our new listeners, especially the members of the Green Thumbs Garden Club in Sola Vida in Osceola County. And I talked with them this week, and they're just a great group of gardening people. And then, Lizzie, did you see the Hunter's Moon this morning driving in?
No, but I did see the pre-moon 2 days ago. I didn't notice it, but not now.
It's incredible today. So tonight is a full moon, and it's called the Hunter's Moon. It's not the Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon is always the full moon that's closest to the autumnal equinox. So that was September 23rd. And so the moon after the Harvest Moon is the Hunter's Moon. And, of course, it's, you know, deer hunting season and all that throughout the United States. And so it is the first full moon to follow the Harvest Moon, meaning it can occur in either October or November. So you have to go out and tonight and look at the moon. And it just is incredible. So, Lizzie, have you ever seen a bat up close?
Yes, I have. I love bats. I'm a weirdo. I love bats. I think that they're the coolest thing.
Well, I love bats, too, because they're mammals, and they have little babies that they nurse, and that is so precious to me.
Right.
And they do look like a flying mouse or, you know, kind of a rodent, you know, but they are a mammal, and they've been the symbol of Halloween ever since Halloween has been around. And so, you know, given that they, you know, migrate in autumn and before hibernation, it's a common sight to see them at dusk this time of the year. And then the Celts built huge symbolic bonfires to the harvest season to invoke the help of the gods. And so these massive light sources would attract swarms of insect at night, which in turn attracts hunting bats. And so the Celts thought that they were spirits of the dead around their bonfire. So that was pretty cool. In the Bible, the bat is depicted as inherently unclean because of its consumption, the way it consumes it drinks blood, that kind of thing, which it doesn't really. It eats insects, but also because the roost develop a layer of guano, and we'll be talking about that today. Can you use the guano in your garden? But it was Dante's Inferno which really established bats as a symbol of the devil. Okay. And so the poem, Dante's Inferno, described devil's wings as looking similar to those of a bat. And then during the 16th and 17th century, when the witches were considered, you know, a problem, even nobility could not escape the association of bats. A French noblewoman, Lady Jacquem of Bayonne, was burned to death simply because crowds of bats frequented her garden. And in reality, the bats were likely taking advantage of the insects drawn to her flowers. So we're going to be talking with County Extension Director for County's University of Florida, Sumter County and Hernando County, Jim Davis, and he's going to be telling us how to create a bat-friendly neighborhood in our yards. And so I'm really excited to talk about that because bats are one of the best benefits we have in our fight against insects.
Yes, and we have some in our yard, like whenever dusk, and sometimes even at dawn, believe it or not, I'll see them. I just need to get a bat house put in my yard, and I've always heard, I don't know if this is true, but I can ask him, there's certain places that you're supposed to put it and not put it. So I never got one because I didn't want to put it in the wrong place.
There you go. Well, so Jim Davis is with the University of Florida County Extension Offices for Sumter and Hernando County. He is the director, and he is going to be joining us and telling us where we can put our bat houses. So we will definitely ask him about that. And so if you have gardening questions today, we are going to be taking your gardening calls. We are live this morning and looking forward to talking to everyone. If you would like to go to our Facebook page and like us, that would be great. And if you'd like to write our number down, 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the area and would like to call us later on, we'd love to hear your gardening question. In the second hour, we have Stephen Biggs that's going to tell us how to have a fall apple taste testing party. And ooh, I love looking at that. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This morning we have Jim Davis. He's the County Extension Director at the University of Florida IFAS Extension Offices. He's the County Director of the Sumter and Hernando County Extension Offices. And Jim has been with the University of Florida for 17 years. We worked together at the very beginning in Florida Yards and Neighborhoods. He's also been involved with the Residential Horticulture and Master Gardener program. He's a native Floridian. And if you would like to see incredible award-winning wildlife photography, birds and animals, you can follow Jim Davis on Facebook. He has an incredible eye and a great camera. And so Jim has a fun day ahead of him. He's up in Jacksonville for the Florida Gator Bulldog game, but he's joining us first. Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am great. It looks like you have a beautiful day for the one of the best well-known rivalry football games.
Yes, we're all excited, so we hope they do well.
There we go. And so, Jim, when I was growing up in Winter Haven, my parents would go play tennis at the public tennis courts, and we would just play outside of the courts, throwing the ball up in the air just to attract the bats. Bats have been around, all of these areas where it's well lit. How many species of bats are native to Florida?
Oh, we have quite a few. So we have about 13 native species and about 7 that come here and that, come here and go. But 13 is what we have. And we have different species such as the evening bat, the Brazilian free tail, the brown. So we have quite a few here in Florida.
What is the population? How many bats does the state usually have?
Well, for the exact population, I'm unsure. But you know what? For in a bat house, you can have over 500,000 bats. So quantify that for all the bat houses.
Wow!
In the
so, Lizzie,
state.
You really need a big bat house.
I'm on
yes,
it.
you need a huge bat house. But the population, is declining. There's several reasons for that. In Florida, it's mainly habitat destruction. In other areas, there is a disease that's associated with that, and also, those wind turbines are responsible for some bat deaths as well. But there are ways that you can attract bats in your yard, and such as, you know, putting up bat houses and stuff like that. So we want to encourage these protected species that we have in Florida. They're a great insect.
Predator.
insect predators, yeah.
So Lizzie, you had a question.
Yes, I have heard that there's a specific spot that you're supposed to put the bat houses in. If you don't, then they won't use them.
Well, you know, whenever you put a bat house in a yard, there's several things you have to fulfill. So it's best to put it in an open area, so that way they can escape some predators. So if you notice if you ever been to the bat house in Gainesville, the bat houses now, it's in an open field, you know, and so that way the bats can escape, because, you know, there are several predators that get the bats when they come out. So great horn owls, you know, red-shouldered hawks, these are all predators. You also want to make sure that you place them away from any light. So if you're in a development area, and if you aren't, you know, say if you're on a corner lot with a big street lamp, that's probably not the best place to put a big bat house. So avoid the lights. You want to make sure that it's placed off the ground, obviously, about 12, 15 foot on a pole. And that's obviously for predators as well. And the color of the bat house. So you have to think about that as well. The bats, you know, they need about 80 to 100 degrees inside their little home to keep them comfy cozy. So in North Florida, you want to make sure that those bat houses are a little bit dark in color because it receives less light, so that darker color absorbs more heat. And in South Florida, where you receive more light, you want to paint that bat house a little bit grayish in color so that it reflects the heat, so it doesn't get too hot in that bat house.
Oh, that's interesting. And does it need to be facing any direction or opening? Does it need to be placed on a certain side of a tree?
No, not necessarily. No, and you have to understand also that whenever you put a bat house in your yard, you may not have bats for maybe a couple of years. So it's best to put that bat house up in wintertime, because that's when the bats are looking for new homes, if they're looking for new homes. But they're pretty loyal to their roost as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so they're pretty loyal to where they live. But if they're looking for a new place, you know, we want to place that bat house around in wintertime, see if they search for something in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as direction, no, not really.
You okay.
know, the one thing that I would tell people to avoid is just don't put the bat house on your house.
No, I agree with that. One time I was going to work at Belk Lindsay's in Leesburg, and there were two bats that were right at the employee entrance. It stopped people from going in, and they were just hanging out. And that caused quite a stir. And so is there any types of plants and shrubs and trees that will be better for bats in your landscape? How do you attract them to your yard besides having mosquitoes?
Yes. And so So I don't have a bat house in my yard, but I have a lot of bats in my yard.
Really?
And so, yes. And the reason why is because I have an open area. They're in the front yard. It's really open. So they're using, you know, this echolocation to attract the fine insects. But the reason why I have so many bats in my yard, one of the reasons, because I have native plants.
Okay.
So native plants attract insects. So the flowering ones, for example. You know, you could have, you know, firebush or gallardia or some of these native plants out there, because this is what they're feeding onto. But so that definitely does help. And but, you know, these bats, you know, they're generalists. So they feed on mosquitoes, absolutely. Where do mosquitoes hide? In large shrubs. And some of the mosquito species do, such as the Aedes mosquitoes. So they'll hide in shrubs, they'll come out, and that's when they're prey for the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And also these moths. You know, and a lot of plants that we plant for butterflies are attract moths as well.
Right,
you know,
especially vegetables.
Exactly. And so when do they come out? At nighttime. And so bats eat a ton of moths.
Oh, that's good. And so I've seen agaves when they're blooming that they attract bats too as well, right?
they attract bats. You know, if we didn't have bats, bats are pollinators. So with agave, what does agave produce?
Yes, tequila.
Tequila.
Tequila. Yes. Oh, going back to our early days there, Jim. So so what are some common homeowner practices that are detrimental to bats?
Well, you know, you want to, obviously, with any good wildlife-friendly yard, is try to avoid any pesticide use. So that's the main thing that I would suggest for homeowners. Another thing is I love cats. I love my cats. But cats don't need to be outside.
Right.
So cats are predators. Cats are one of the biggest predators of a lot of animals, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Outside cats are. So, you know, put your cats inside. Use less pesticides. A good thing to do this year, Teresa, is, you know, that webbing that people put out for Halloween?
Yes, the spider's web makes it all look creepy.
The spider web's crazy. Don't do that. So whenever you put that in your yard, that's like a big net. And so sometimes these animals, such as bats, get caught up in that. And unfortunately, some may perish.
Oh, my goodness. That's true. And even little small birds, when they put it over the shrubs, that's not a good thing, too. So what if somebody finds a bat around their property? What is there anything they should do? I mean, what if they find it on their house or in the ground? What should they do?
Yeah, leave it alone. So if you find one on the ground, it's probably not a healthy bat. And you can call a Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. You may be able to call FWC, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, to see what the proper steps are. Just don't handle a bat. And because, you know, now bats do carry rabies. It's probably 1% of the population somewhere. It's really low, mm-hmm. but they do carry rabies. And there have been fatalities because of that. So if you see it, I would leave it alone or call those other agencies that I just mentioned.
Sure, and they'll tell them what to do or send somebody out. And so,
exactly.
So a lot of times I get questions about bat guano. And mm-hmm. so if someone has a bat house in their yard, how can they incorporate, what do they have to do? Do they have to wear gloves? What do they have to do if they have guano in their yard and they want to use it in their landscape?
Yeah, and you know, that goes back to the location of a bat house, because you don't want to put the bat house next anywhere where the guano is going to smell bad, because mm-hmm. you're going to have guano. And so whenever you get that guano, don't use your bare hands to pick up any feces. So use gloves, preferably a shovel. And what you can do is, going back to our old Florida Yards and Neighborhoods A's, Teresa, is a composting.
There we go.
So throw it in your composter. And, you know, that guano is, like, excellent fertilizer. It's just really, really super. So, yeah, put it in your compost, and then eventually you can put it in your flower beds, and you have beautiful flowers in your garden.
That would be great. Now, where can listeners find out more about encouraging bats?
Well, the best place is to go to the University of Florida website. So, Solutions for Your Life, what you can do is you can simply... Or just to make it easy for people, Tracy, you can just go on your search engine like Google, put bats for Florida, and you will have a ton of information from the University of Florida on bat species and bat houses. And I would also recommend people going to visit the Florida Museum of Natural History website, because they also have a lot of great information on bats of Florida.
That is great. Thank you so much, Jim, for coming on this morning. We have to do it more often. I certainly appreciate it. Have a fun day today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Go Gators, right, Lizzie?
That's right. You guys can tune into the Gator game after the show. We have the game preview that starts at 12:30 here on WFLA, and then the game starts at 3:30, I do believe. So make sure you have your iHeartRadio app updated. Sometimes you may need to go in and reset your location again, even though it's already been set, because it's what happened to me. Then you'll be ready to listen to the Gator game here on WFLA.
That's great. I loved working with Jim. He's just a wonderful guy, and his photography is incredible. So follow him on Facebook, Jim Davis, and he is the county extension director for two counties, Sumter and Hernando. So the University of Florida is very lucky to have him. So we now take your gardening questions. It's time. You can call Lizzie, 855-2967 or text me at 23680. Good morning, Howie. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens Saturday morning. That's what you're listening to. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. I am drinking a cup of hot tea this morning. Lizzie, what are you drinking?
Eggnog.
Eggnog. It's that time of the year. It's a season of the year.
Well, let me clarify. It's non-alcoholic eggnog. I don't believe it or not, I really don't like putting the alcohol in it. I've tried it. And I think see where people may like it, but no.
No, I like eggnog without the alcohol well. And so if you have a gardening question, we would love to hear it. And so let's take a phone call. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City, the rooster lady. I love to call her. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning. The rooster. Oh, that sob. See what you did?
That is great.
You got him all started.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So tell me what I see what you're calling about. So tell me about it.
All right. It looks limp. I mean, I had to do it when my back felt better.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going back for more shots on Monday.
Okay.
It looks limp.
And
that's all I can describe it.
Okay,
as.
So this is a bird of paradise, and you say it's a fake one. What do you mean by fake one?
It's the fake bird of paradise. It's not the real one. It's the one that you said would bloom better than the real one.
Oh, okay. Are you talking about heliconias?
Yes.
Okay. So the your heliconias are limp. Okay. And so are they in full sun?
I put it in a bigger pot,
okay.
Like you said.
Okay.
And when the sun comes on the porch, it's in full sun.
Right. But then the rest of the day, it's in shade.
Yes.
Which is fine. Okay. Now, how long ago did you do this?
10 days ago.
Okay. And so you didn't by any chance put any fertilizer in the pot when you transplanted it, did you?
No.
Okay.
The potting mix has fertilizer in it.
Okay.
Do I need to give it some Miracle Grow?
No. You don't need to fertilize it right now. Let it get established. Once you see new leaves on any plant that you transplant or cut back, then you can go ahead and fertilize it because that just means it's established. So, and how often does it get watered?
I watered it from the bottom, and it sucked up what I gave it, but I was afraid to give it any more because I didn't want to overwater it.
Okay. I would water it from the top. You don't have to water it from the bottom. Okay, water it from the top and soak it, saturate it at least once a week. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And it'll be just fine. So if it's outside, just go ahead and water it from the top down. Soak it really well so where it runs out. Now, when you're watering it and it runs out of the bottom, make sure it's not going around the sides. So you want to saturate it a couple of times, and once a week it is just fine. So I think that's the only issue, is that it's just going through shock from being transplanted.
Okay. All right.
Just give it a little bit more water, and it'll be fine.
Okay, and I talked to Lizzie this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit of rum in that eggnog.
Already? Well, I will check it out to see.
Yeah,
okay.
You need to.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much, Eileen. Good morning, Bob. You guys have a great weekend. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, and she wants me to check your eggnog, and so... And I told him that's it. So Richard from Rainbow Springs sent me a really cool email. And he said, hello, Teresa. I harvest many calla lily seeds each year that I spend lots of time nicking the seeds before I soak them for 36 hours before I plant them. I think for every seven I plant, I get one calla lily plant, and they grow tall and have the loveliest flowers. Most time-consuming is nicking the seeds. The seeds are about the size of a BB, and I hold it in a pair of pliers and use my Dremel tool to nick the seed in a few places. Is there a tool specifically made to do that job? What is it called, and where would I order one? Thank you for whatever help you can give me. Love your show. We hear it in Rainbow Springs, recorded on Sunday morning, 5 a.m. until 7 a.m. Well, Richard, thank you so much. That was a lovely email, and I am just impressed that you take the time to nick calla lily seeds, because they are tiny, and that does take a lot of work. So I did some research, and I found some great information on all the options from manual to mechanical. Mechanical is very expensive, but nicking the hole in them is what you need, and you're using a Dremel tool, so you're doing it correctly. But I've just, in researching some of the other land grant universities and the university research, that you may not have to nick them, that just soaking them and maybe just scraping the holes will work too as well. So I think you're doing it correctly, and if you're getting 1 out of 7, it may be some other issue that you're not getting more, but you have the right tool and you're doing it correctly. So I did find, though, Richard, that if you want to go big, that you can buy an electric seed scarifier, and you just throw the seeds in there and it scarifies them. But it's $1,100. And so you really, really have to love nicking seeds, or, you know, love calla lilies to get it. So I think you're doing it correctly. It just takes a little bit of time. You can try sometimes to see if you plant them with just soaking in them for 36 hours and then planting them. See if any comes up. You still may get that same ratio of 1 out of 7 just by soaking them. And then you kind of know that you don't need to, you know, take the time to nick them. So thank you very much for the email. If you'd like to email me a question, you can ask me on text 23680, or you can go to the website betterlawns.com and send me an email there. And pictures are always good. I love getting pictures. It helps me diagnose the problem much better. So I do appreciate that. And so thank you so much. So then Walter didn't tell me where he lives. He is talking about his mandevillas. So Lizzie, we're going to take him. We're going to go over his question in the next segment. If you have a gardening question, we would love to hear it. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. If you miss any of today's show or any shows you'd like to go back and listen to, you can hear them on our podcast on iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, or on our Facebook page. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, no matter where you are, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So Walter, and Walter didn't give me where he lived, but we can still help him. And he says, I love listening to your show and podcast this morning. And this was 2 weeks ago when I talked about calibration of irrigation system. So he said, please send me the guidelines to calibrate my irrigation system. He said, by the way, you also solved why my mandevillas are sick and dying. I use Roundup to kill the tons of out-of-control weeds around the mandevillas, yet some of the glyphosate likely got to the roots. I built a trellis for 4 of them, and one good year, I had a wall of mandevilla blooms 9 feet tall and 25 feet wide.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine how beautiful that must have looked? And so the western patch gets direct sun from noon to night, and the irrigation system waters the patch 20 minutes up to twice a week. I'll quit the Roundup, but cannot manually keep up with the weeds. Any advice to rejuvenate the mandevillas would be welcome. Stay healthy, Walter. Well, Walter, thank you so much. And I can commiserate with you on the weed issue. I have a front garden bed that's underneath an oak tree that just drives me crazy with the weeds that come up. And I don't know. It just makes me sad. And so I sent him the calibrating your irrigation system. But the only thing that's going to help your mandevillas is time. You can help by hand watering them maybe an extra 2 times a week to flush the herbicide out of their system. And that will help. But they will recover. So what kind of weeds do you have, Walter? That's the big thing, is that you got to find out what kind of weeds you have. And if you could remove them all at one time so that your ground is good and weed-free, then go ahead and put down a layer of mulch 3 to 4 inches thick, and that's going to prevent the weed seeds from germinating and coming back. Now, you got to make sure that you're weed-free to do that and not have a problem. And then you'll probably only have to weed maybe twice a year, you know, when you see one, pull one, that kind of thing, rather than a big chore. So if it's a small bed around your mandevilla, you can also use a pre-emergent control like Preen. And just sprinkle it around. Once the weeds are gone, sprinkle the Preen around, and that will not hurt your mandevilla, but it will keep weed seeds from germinating. So, Walter, thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and let me know if I can help you with anything else. That's a great question. So, it's almost November, Lizzie.
Yes.
We've got a couple of days, and Halloween is coming up, and that's Tony's birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, Tony.
So, it's coming up, and so I was just going to say, this is some of the things that you can be doing this month. Okay, going into November, if you have any declining summer crops, okay, go ahead and remove them now. When you have plants that are stressed out, especially from having to work and grow all summer long, then they're going to be more susceptible to insect and disease issues. So before you start your fall garden, get rid of those and make sure your garden soil is all clean and neat, okay? You do not have to change your soil in your raised beds or your pots, but go ahead and add some new potting soil or compost to the top of your raised beds and mix that in. Also, you can start seeds of broccoli, cauliflower, collards, onions, and similar root plants to produce transplants for later on. You can add cool season vegetables through February. They'll do just fine. And then also, too, this is the last time to give your bananas and pineapples their final fall feeding. And you could just use a general garden fertilizer, you know, slow-release Osmocote, you know, or Dynamite, or any of the slow releases. That will be just fine. And then feed your garden, your vegetable garden, every 3 to 4 weeks. And you can use composted manure, again, a general garden fertilizer. This is the time of the year to sow papaya seeds to overwinter in your containers so that you can plant them in the spring. And then you want to delay all fruit tree pruning until late January or February. All right. This is also the time to complete all your tree, palm, and shrub feedings by mid-month. And then stop feeding your orchids and bromeliads until spring next year. Also a great time to divide perennials and bulbs. And if you would like to have some spring bulbs like your narcissus and daffodils and also your tulips if you're in North Florida, this is a time to go ahead and refrigerate them, lower the light issues for your poinsettias, get them all ready for winter, and this is a time to do it. So that's all we need to do right now. What kind of herbs can you be planting? You could be planting anise, arugula, basil, borage, chives and cardamom, chervil, cilantro, coriander, dill and fennel, garlic and ginger, lavender and lemon balm, lovage, Mexican tarragon. I love Mexican tarragon. It's just wonderful. Mints, nasturtiums, oreganos, parsley, rosemary, sage, sweet marjoram, thyme, and watercress. I planted a herb garden, herb container for the Sola Vida Green Thumbs Club on Thursday. Very easy to do. And, you know, use, you know, all different types of containers. I put this one into a basket and added some pumpkins, little small pumpkins to it, and it looks so pretty. I'll post a picture of it when I get it.
My my sunflowers are poking out. Whenever I went to Maine for the baby shower in May, that was the go-home gift, was little envelopes with a variety of sunflowers, the different breeds of sunflowers, like even the smaller ones. So I planted a couple rows in the center of my garden bed, which is really long, and then I waited 3 weeks and then planted a whole nother row on the outside of them. But they are just, they're poking their little heads up, and then I put a few of my own seeds in there, which are like the chocolate sunflowers.
Yes.
And the Moulin Rouge color ones. Oh. And they're a little, I'm so happy because I love sunflowers so much. So they're just, they're popping out. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you have to take pictures and share us so we can share it on our Facebook page. That would be great. I'd love to see that. 1-888-455-2967. Or if you would like to text us, 23680 will be great. And so we would also like you to go to our Facebook page and like us and share with your friends. If you know someone who's new to Florida that doesn't know exactly what to do with their landscape or with their plants, let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. Share that information, and they'll appreciate that. So in the next hour, we have a Halloween dirty word of the day coming up, and it's going to be about a witch's brew.
Ooh.
Witch's brew. And so we'll be telling you how to do that. And then also, too, Stephen Biggs, and he is the garden expert for Food, Garden, and Life, and he is an urban garden. He raises his own food, just kind of like Dr. Gary Bachman, and his daughter, Emma, and she is just a dynamo, too, as well. They grow their own food, and he has a great newsletter that comes out. He is going to be with us, and he is going to give us the perfect activity. If you do not know what kind of fruit tree you would like to plant or what variety, he has the perfect fall party.
Ooh.
And so we're going to be talking about that too as well. So you can go to our website and iHeartRadio to hear all of the past shows for Better Lawns and Gardens. You don't have to miss one of them. And Lizzie, if they can't hear the show for some reason, and again, technical gremlins happen all year round and at different stations certain times of the year, right?
Yes, that's right. That does happen. So go to WFLAOrlando.com and then search Better Lawns and Gardens. Make sure you spell it out. And then all the links are there through the WFLA Orlando website. So
excellent. So we just got a text message from someone in, I think, the Lake County area. Said, great interview with Jim Davis and the topic of bats. I want everyone to go out and start planting flowers and seeds to attract bats and just enjoy bats because they're wonderful and they're so sweet. They make such good mothers. And the texter said he's an excellent speaker, and she plans to check out his Facebook page. That's Jim Davis, and he is the County Extension Director for Sumter and Hernando County. Just a wonderful guy. So if vegetables you can be planting this time of the year, beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflowers, celery, Chinese cabbage, collards and endives, kale and kohlrabi, lettuce, mustard, onions and peas, radicchios, radishes and rhubarbs, rutabagas. I love rutabagas in my stew. I love them. Spinach and Swiss chard and neeps. And or you Americans say turnips. We grew up calling them neeps and tatties and potatoes. And so I will be planting my potatoes this weekend. So I'm looking forward to that. We have Stephen Biggs coming up. You're not going to want to miss this. Excellent family activity or neighborhood party. I love the idea. And again, if you don't know what kind of fruit tree you want to plant, Stephen has the perfect activity for it. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
While we're on the break, go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com. I believe we got some really cool, weird news. You want to check it out, WFLAOrlando.com.